ELR episode 169, brought to you in part by GoDaddy.com. Use Life1, Life2, or Life3 as your code, and save money on all kinds of great stuff over at GoDaddy.com. Oh, and Rob, good luck on your junior high jazz contest you have tomorrow.
From the snowy peaks of the Rocky Mountains, through the harsh Colombian jungle, and all over the damn American South, this is Extra Life Radio.
Hey everybody, this is Matt from the ConsoleMonths.com podcast, and you're listening to Extra Life Radio on MyExtraLife.com.
Hey everybody, welcome back to a brand new show. Let's start by introducing the regulars. Obsidian is here, despite his hard drive. He was able to conquer it, and he's here anyway. Obsidian, welcome back to the show.
Good evening, Scott.
You, of course, hail from CommissionComic.com, which is doing great these days. And what happened to your computer? Why'd you have to reformat it? What is it that Windows did this time to screw with your life?
Actually, it wasn't Windows. I actually managed to ruin a Linux system.
Oh my gosh. Excellent. You were running Linux? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
What were you?
I had to format the computer several times during one same week, and I got sick of it, and I said, "You know what? I'm going to install a stable system, something that, you know, might be a little bit more difficult to run, you know, for me to learn it, but that I know it's going to, you know, be stable, that I know that it's going to be able to take it." Yeah. So I installed Ubuntu, right?
Yeah.
A Linux system. And I managed to ruin it as well.
Well, that's awesome. Were you doing your comic with that, or were you just going to... What were you doing? How are you going to make your comic?
Yeah. I was working in GIMP, and I basically had it all running. I still wasn't very used to it. There was still a lot of details to sort of iron out.
Sure.
But don't ask me. Don't ask me how I ruined it.
Somehow you did. Wow. Yeah. Is that what you're running right now, talking to us as Linux, or are you still, what are you doing?
No, because I got home from the university from teaching class at 9. I had turned my computer off this morning, and so I got home at 9, and the podcast for me is at 10.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And I turned my computer on, and it won't turn on. I mean, it won't boot, so I said, you know what, screw this. I mean, at least I know how to handle Windows. I mean, with Ubuntu, I mean, it won't start, and I'm totally lost. I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
So I just put in the Windows XP CD, and fortunately, the Windows XP install doesn't take too long, and, you know, in a matter of 40 minutes, half an hour, I was up and running.
Well, good. Well, we're just glad to have you here. Linux or not. Joining us from, where are you from, Brian? South Carolina and MissionDeep.com and CommonsCoastToCoast.com. I was saying before the show, dude, why do you even bother with Extra Life Radio? Why don't you just, that thing's doing gangbusters. You got like celebrity cartoonists on there. It's like a huge deal now. Why do you even care about us anymore?
Yeah, because, you know, I'm just trying to keep it real. You know what I'm saying?
Keeps it real? By the way, you know you're on the microphone that's like built into your computer, right?
No. Why didn't you freaking tell me before the show started?
I just noticed.
Yeah, no, he just loves doing the podcast from inside a box.
Yeah, that's very creepy.
Hold on a second.
All right, while he's fixing that.
He's in his hobo home.
Yeah, which is every home in South Carolina. Ba-da-bum. Okay, and then what else? Nothing. There's nothing else. We don't want to introduce anything. I'm, of course, from MyExtraLife.com. You can find Brian at MissionDeep.com and, of course, Obsidian at CommissionComic.com. And we have a few really interesting things today. You know, I promised a while ago that I wasn't going to do birthdays the old way, you know, where we sang to them or some stupid thing. But I have been a little bit remiss in making sure to mention the birthdays. So I'll make up for it today. Tony had a birthday. Happy birthday, Tony. We got one from
It's great!
Richard Knight turned 30. Happy birthday, Richard. Andre Rojas also had a birthday. Peter.
You don't actually have to say had a birthday after each name.
True. Peter.
Know that they all had birthdays.
Peter Stanky. Stinker. Stanky? I don't know how you say your name. Daryl.
You know what would make this segment more interesting?
What?
Some official Extra Life radio birthday remix music, and then we could just read over top of that music.
Oh, I'm doing it already, baby. You just can't hear it.
Okay, really?
Yeah, a guy
named... waiting in his head.
Well, a guy. Well, I wish you would play it for me because I'm bored to death.
You're bored to death. All right, I'll hurry. Jesus, yeah. Jesus Fidalgo.
Go faster, go faster.
Should I call him Jesus or Jesus?
Who cares? Go faster.
All right, Jesus Fidalgo. Gary.
Not fast enough.
Master D, Kirsten, Tyler, Michael, Peter Sturdinkery.
Go faster, you want to pound those birthdays.
We already did him. Elizabeth Delario. There you go, everybody. Oh, no, that was her anniversary. Sorry, I don't want to blow that. Her and her boyfriend had an anniversary February 4th. So congratulations.
Not fast enough.
Yeah, I know.
Not fast.
Plenty fast. Okay, there you go. See how easy that is?
Oh,
just rip right through it. Boom, 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 boom.
Birthday-gasm.
Oh, dude, sick. Way to ruin everyone's favorite day. All right, can we do this? Can we do a little news?
ELR News.
Okay.
Why can we hear the music for the news, but we can't hear the birthday music?
Because the birthday music I put in during post-production so that they don't hear it over the microphone while we're talking.
Brian, you buy that?
It's sounds like
a little technical for you. Okay, Mr. Broken Linux.
Yeah. You don't want to mess with me. Yeah. I broke down the Linux system.
True enough. Okay, first in the news, this was kind of interesting. And again, this isn't like normal news. We're going to talk about news that we care about, or at least I do. Because these guys might not care
either. So this won't be about Britney Spears going to the hospital again then?
No, I could care less. She can freaking... Do you know that
She had a boob job. She had a third boob installed.
Which is great, because she's a big fan of the Total Recall, and she figured, hey, why not go for something like that? But listen, here's the thing about... something about Britney Spears I heard this week, since you brought it up. I found out that I heard through this interview that news sources like Reuters News Service and some of the big news services that kind of funnel a lot of news out to different news outlets, and so a lot of what you hear on CNN or local news comes from these news services. The point is, they have a list at Reuters specifically that is like a death list in a way, but the way it works is they have pre-written
obituaries
for guys like Heath Ledger. They had one for him. They have them for Britney Spears if she is ever to die. They have them for people like Lindsay Lohan and all those kind of people. So these kind of at-risk, young, sort of whatever, you know, not quite, it's a little dubious what they're up to in their personal time kind of people. And when I first heard that, I thought, well, this is not new. This isn't good journalism. This is sandbagging. Yeah. But then he made a really good point. The guy at Reuters said, look, if we don't do this, it takes 40 or so minutes to create an obit that's fast and quick, right?
Yeah, yeah.
If you take that 40 minutes, somebody's going to scoop you on the story. You're screwed. You're going to miss out. It won't matter anymore.
What's your crap?
Because some blogger's going to do something. And you mentioned it last week, Brian, about how the whole Heath Ledger thing was like TMZ was the big source for everybody. Well, it's because TMZ's the one talking first. Even if they're wrong about 90% of the facts, that's the world we live in. It's this instant... must know, you know, we've gone from the 1800s where you had to wait for a damn horse to tell you news.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then we moved to a time where the only news you ever got was on TV or on the radio. And now we live in a time where I don't have to do hardly anything and I can get the news on my phone or on my iPod or on my freaking screen or whatever. So
speaking of Total Recall.
Yeah. 2 weeks.
It's awesome. It's awesome.
2 weeks. Yeah.
I've been watching. I did not realize that there was a Total Recall series back in like 1999 or something.
Dude, I heard about that this week for the first time too, and I had no idea either.
It's on Hulu.com. That's how I found it. I was like going through the stuff, and
that
I was
must
like,
be where I saw it. Did you watch it?
Yeah, I watched it. It wasn't that bad.
Who's in it? Who's the main dude? Who's on the run?
I have no idea.
I don't know who that is either. I saw his picture.
It's like a couple of cops. I don't think it's really about. It's not really based on the movie. It's about a couple of cops that are investigating different corrupt recall companies.
Well, maybe the guy. Maybe somebody in the chat room knows.
Magnum in it?
Who?
Magnum?
No, I did not recognize either.
Yeah, then it's no good.
Who's Magnum? I can't remember who Magnum is.
Magnum?
You don't know who Magnum is?
Not Magnum P.I. You're not talking about him.
Tom Selleck?
Yeah, I'm talking about Tom Selleck. If Tom Selleck is not in it, it's no good.
I thought there was a dude in the movie in Total Recall called Magnum.
No. You got to have the mustache.
Yeah. Dude, Tom Selleck rules, man. Quigley down under, baby. Anyway.
Yeah.
So, that's interesting, and I wonder if anyone else knows who that guy is.
Tom Selleck?
Yeah. No, damn it. The guy that's in the TV version of Total Recall. Not Tom Selleck. I don't know how we got off on that, but anyway. So if you have a Hulu account, which I do now, I'll have to check it out. There is apparently that series. And by the way, I hope Hulu doesn't... I mean, it sounds so far like Hulu's just going to basically be a lot like... what is it we're using? Juiced.
Yeah, Juiced.
Except that it's only stuff NBC and Fox and somebody else. I can't remember who the other one is, but only a certain select whoever's opted into this thing. They're the only ones that are showing anything. And that, I don't know if that's good. Is that good?
I think it'd be good. Good enough. Did you also see that Team Knight Rider's on there? Did you hear that?
I did see that. What else? There was something else weird. Manimal or something showed up on there.
Was Manimal there? We watched Doogie Howser.
Manimal rocks.
Dude, Doogie Howser was good back in the day. I liked it.
Oh, Doogie Howser was good.
pardon me. So, yeah, there you go. That's the news about that. That wasn't anything what I was going to talk about.
No, it wasn't.
Oh, Stan Lee.
Did you actually have something interesting? Or?
Yeah, no. Britney Spears, you guys pulled way off in the other direction. Okay, Britney Spears. No! Stan Lee sat down with Veronica Belmonte, a friend of the show. And those who don't know who I'm talking about, she is the host of Mahalo Daily. It's a video podcast and webcast carried on Mahalo.com. You can find it at daily.mahalo.com. Anyway, she did an interview with Stan Lee, which is just crazy that she got a chance to sit down with this guy. He's like 114 now, I think, something like that. And it was a really interesting conversation. At one point, though, she brought up this issue of web comics, this idea that there's these web comics out there that are, taking over, not really taking over. I'm putting words into her mouth. But she wanted to know what he thought of the difference or what the difference was between traditional comics and webcomics. And this is how that conversation went. And this is just about the weirdest thing ever.
Webcomics are extremely popular these days, and a lot of people are producing them. What do you think of their popularity, and how do you think they're different from traditional comics?
Well, a traditional comic is printed on paper, you silly person. And the stuff on the web comes over the web, and you see it on your computer screen, or someday, or soon, or now on your telephone screen. And that's the difference. I think I explained that beautifully.
Okay, he thinks he's explained that beautifully. I really wanted O to hear this because you don't like Stan Lee.
Well, it's not that I don't like Stan Lee. I mean, I don't know the guy. I mean, for all I know, he can be, really nice or really mean or whatever. But, it's exactly answers like that that make me not like him, on that level.
Yeah. He kind of ridiculed her a little bit, it sounded like.
Yeah, first of all, he calls her a silly person. Okay, that's worth a kick in the nuts. And
dude, he doesn't have those anymore, does he? They're just little raisins.
And I'm not sure they're little. I mean, they must hang really low, though.
That's terrible. Terrible. Yeah.
But it's like, okay, Mr. Stan Lee. I mean, we know that. Everybody knows that. And I think it's rather obvious that that's not the answer we're looking for.
Yeah.
I mean, the difference between web comics and traditional comics is that one is printed and the other's on the web. What are you, an idiot?
Wow, you are a fan.
Yeah, of course you're an idiot. You made that Who Wants to Be a Superhero series, which I have no better word for than sucks.
People love that show, though. Didn't you like that,
they
Brian?
They love it
you
because
like
it's awful.
First season I loved. The second season, didn't really watch it.
You know what? You're right, Oh. People like it because it's stupid. No question.
I mean, nobody likes it because they think it's really good. people like it because it sucks. It sucks so much that it's funny to watch.
All right, I got a question for you about Stan Lee. Do you respect him at least for his contributions to the comics world in terms of creating characters like Spider-Man and working on things like Iron Man and you know, having a hand in Fantastic Four and all these things that are, you know, beloved books today? Do you think he deserves credit for all that or no?
No, not really. Of course, let's keep in mind that it's not that I'm ignorant or anything, but let's keep in mind that you never really know. But as far as I know, Stan Lee is not solely responsible for all of these things. I mean,
of course not. No, he's not.
I mean, most of the stuff he supposedly created, he did it with somebody else. And I don't know. I mean, look at him now. I mean, look at the stuff he's doing right now. There is not a single solitary thing he's doing right now that is good.
I'm thinking here.
He brought Captain America back. Was that him? Did he do that?
Did he do that? I don't think so. Did he?
They brought Captain America back. Yeah, he's back.
They.
Yeah.
But Marvel did. I mean, his contribution is not really that big, as far as I know. And again, let's keep in mind that you never really know. But as far as I know, he's just like a figure for people to see. I mean, he's just an image. He's a character.
Yeah, he is almost he's more of a character than half the characters.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty much it. I mean, that's all he does. He's a character for people to see. And thank you. Somebody in the chat room, which by the way, you have not said hello to. Hello, people in the chat room.
Hello, chat room. Good day.
Somebody in the
all.
Chat room says it's called the figurehead. And thank you, Bob Zombie. And that's exactly what he is. So I don't really feel he is that important. And of course, again, Mr. Stanley, I don't know you. I have no disrespect towards you. I'm not just going to be going bonkers over this guy like everybody else seems to do.
I heard he made out with Jack Kirby once. That's what I heard.
Okay.
The Jack Kirby, I like that guy. He was cool. I love his artwork. Okay, look, here's the deal with Stan Lee. He's also trapped in the late 60s, early 70s in terms of style sense. He got as if he got hit by something then that made it permanently so he looked like the glasses he would wear were four times larger than they need to be or should be. I have some issues with the look of the man. I really do. But then after seeing this interview, I don't know. I mean, it's a big catch for Veronica, but I think he was just kind of rude in that part. He was very grandfatherly
in
other parts.
That is no way to answer a question. I mean, hey, this is a serious interview. Please take it seriously.
Yeah, but he was nice later. He patted her on the head and made out with her.
That's not nice.
I'm kidding.
Patted her on the head.
She didn't make out with him. I'm kidding.
I think I pooped my pants. Can I go now?
You start patting me on the head, you're going to lose that hand.
Oh, the interview's over. All right, look, here's the thing. Veronica, this is a side note to all of this. As kind of an extension of this, and after his comments about webcomics, she has come to me and asked me to be on an episode of Mahalo Daily, which is exciting. She's got hundreds of thousands of viewers, and it's pretty cool. Doesn't know what surprise awaits him yet, but he will the day it airs. I won't tell him now. It'll be our secret, Brian. But he'll be. Let me put it this way. What will happen will be a great surprise to Obsidian. He'll be very happy about what happens. But anyway, not that I owe you any.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Exactly.
Really.
That's how we want it. But anyway, the point is, I'll go on there. She wants me to talk about web comics, how to publish them, how to get them ready for the web, how I do it, recommend ways of promoting your site, that kind of stuff. So it will be really cool. I'm looking forward to it. So keep your eyes on daily.mahalo.com for that. I'll of course announce it on the site as well.
Scott, I got a question.
Please.
Because I have to admit, I saw that on your site, you know, the whole interview with Stanley and everything. And hey, I'm a big fan of Veronica. I mean,
yeah, she's great.
She's very nice. She's great. But I have to admit, I didn't watch the interview because I just said, Stanley, bah, you know, I'm not going to watch that.
Yeah.
Did he actually say anything worth mentioning about webcomics?
Not about webcomics, no. He talked a lot about comics in general. And
I'm sure the guy talks a lot, but about webcomics.
Not about webcomics, no. That was all he said. Yeah, he talked about how this stuff's heading toward phones and other technological ways of people getting stuff, and it's, you know, the whole model's changing and this sort of thing. And the truth is, he came across to me as understanding more about the way new media works than I expected for a guy his age. So I was kind of impressed with that a little bit. He had some interesting things to say at the end. I actually think you kind of owe it to yourself to watch it. I think you should watch it.
I think I got more interested.
And so, instead of having me is living vicariously through me. But.
Well, you're pretty much as old as he is. Why don't?
Whatever, dude. My glasses are as big. That's true. Okay, so there's that. Veronica interviews Stanley. That's big news for me. I wanted to give a quick review of Burnout Paradise, and we'll do it with this.
How were the graphics?
How were the graphics?
How were the graphics indeed? I would venture to say that Burnout Paradise has some fine graphics. I know I've mentioned on the show before that I've been playing it. I wanted to play enough of it to give you kind of a score or an idea of what I thought of the game overall. And if anyone is on the fence and they like driving games, I highly recommend Burnout Paradise. It's not flawless. It has some issues. Most of them deal with the way they've kind of jumped into this whole big free-roaming sandbox world of racing as opposed to, you know, preset races and getting to all your races through a menu and all that sort of thing. This is very different from that. The only thing I really compare it to would be like Grand Theft Auto if the point of GTA was just to race cars and crash and, you know, that sort of stuff. Really, really fun, really innovative in that way, how they've applied that model to the whole Burnout franchise. And to be honest with you, I think they needed to go this direction because what else is left? I mean, how many more Burnout games are you going to have where it's the same four modes?
Yeah.
And one of them, they add a new mode that lets you crash a bunch more. Well, that, they were already kind of doing that. This seems like a really smart move to me. It also feels a little experimental, and I'm pretty anxious to see what they do next with this
I don't
franchise
know, but
it's cool.
I suppose there's always room for improvement with a game like Burnout because you can always just make the crashes feel more and more real.
Yeah, which they've done here too. But you need more than that. You need, you know, an extension of the gameplay, and I feel like this does it. I know this is a little weird, but I can have Nick sit and play that, and he'll never once get into a match. Like, you're supposed to pull up to stoplights. You hit brake and gas at the same time, and you do whatever that challenge is on that intersection. And it could be one of various things. He won't do any of those. He just drives around town, crashes into stuff, finds the hidden areas, takes out the billboards that give you points for finding them all, you know, spins out, drives down to the beach, flies off the pier into the sand. I mean, it's just really fun that way. And the multiplayer is awesome, too. So it's really good. Now, to answer the question, how are the graphics are great. It looks wonderful. And I actually hear this is one of the first cases where you have a game that was started on the PS3 and then ported to the 360, whereas typically in this particular cycle, that's usually the other way around.
Yeah.
And you end up suffering on the PS3 a little bit because they didn't, you know, put all their guts into it. They put all their guts into a different platform, and then they had to convert it. And that usually means loss of frame rate, and sometimes, you know, you just have issues. Madden's a perfect example. That game plays like a freaking slideshow on the PS3. But the point is that they did it the other way around, and it shows ever so slightly. The PS3 version looks pretty nice and is slightly superior to the 360 version, which I've been playing, but.
You know which game I think looks really sweet? That new Star Wars game, Force Unleashed.
Oh, yeah, dude. All that crazy physics and stuff, it looks amazing.
Yeah,
I'm excited to get my hands on that. Yes, Brian.
Yeah. Brian. I just said, oh, yeah.
That was it.
Oh, baby. Oh, baby.
And you know what else I want? Let me throw this out to the fans and the listeners, okay? I've never played a Devil May Cry game. Never played 1, 2, or 3. And I hear 1 was awesome, 2 was okay, but kind of got panned by critics, and 3 was super, super hard. So 2 and 3 have kind of been mixed, but I've always wanted to try it, just never got around to it. I'm a big fan of Capcom. I love the team behind some of the original Resident Evil stuff, so this looks really cool to me and interesting to me. And so I downloaded the demo for Devil May Cry 4, and it is fun. I think it's going to be the first Devil May Cry I get. I don't know why anyone gives a rat's A. They probably don't.
Well, I'm just having fun here, Scott, because Devil May Cry, well, the way I've seen Devil May Cry, it's always had a very heavy Japanese sort of side to it.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of stuff in that game that just plays and feels like a Japanese game. So it does make me kind of smile that you, of all people, like Devil May Cry.
Yeah.
Since I mean, if there was a country that you could take a crap on, you'd probably do it on Japan.
Dude, I love Japan. I've been to Japan. I think Japan is awesome. I just think some of their freaking anime and manga is stupid. That's all.
Scott, we've been through this before.
That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
We've been here.
And besides, let's listen to Barry for a second.
Jill! I was looking for you.
Barry!
Jill, don't be angry. I wanted you to wait for me.
Barry, don't screw up again like you did when you dropped that rope.
Jill! You're here too!
Yes, you're here too?
Look, I lost my way.
Let's get going.
No, before we go on, people in the chat room are commenting on a game made by Capcom, Japanese. And yes, I know. I mean, I'm aware. But what I'm saying is Devil May Cry has a lot of, you know, the classical Japanese elements that Scott normally makes fun of.
Like giant swords. Okay, that's true. Giant oversized swords. He's got that going on.
Like people getting brothers out of nowhere, like wearing a trench coat with nothing underneath. Well, I mean, at least no shirt.
No, he's wearing a shirt. He's got a full ensemble there. But you're right. He's definitely this archetype that I normally kind of rail against. I think Capcom, of most video game designers in Japan, they have a better feel for how to execute on that for me better than most. It's not goofy and or any of that stuff. It's just kind of straightforward. That guy's cool. He's fighting demons. He's shooting a gun while he's in the midair, and that's keeping him from, like, he's juggling enemies with his freaking shotgun. That stuff's cool. Or pistol or whatever it is. 45.
Devil May Cry is just plain fun.
Yeah. And I'm excited. Have you played the first one or the second one or any of those?
I played the third one and the second one. No, I played the first one and the third one.
It was the third one as hard as everyone says?
I didn't think it was that hard, really.
Mm. Brian, you a fan of the series at all?
Never played. None of it. Just nope.
Not interested.
Nope.
All right. Sounds good to me. All right. Enough of that. Okay. What else? Oh yeah, we played the Stan Lee thing. I have more here. So that's Burnout Paradise. Check it out. It's really good. I hit level 58 and wow, I'm in Outland. Hooray for me. That's all I'll say about that. I'm very excited. And Hellfire Peninsula is a freaking nightmare, dude. That place is crazy. And trust me, I've been there. I've been to Shattrath. I've run around. I've done some stuff with the guild. But never have I been in a place that was quite so hazardous in the game, in the World of Warcraft. It's crazy. Okay, one last mention. This is total service to a buddy of mine. You may have remembered a couple of years ago, we had a guest host on the show who sat fourth chair with us. His name was Chris Stenger. He's an old friend of mine from way back in 99 when we were working on the Infiltration mod for Unreal Tournament together. There's a long story and history about that. If you want to hear anything about that, and really what was the genesis of both podcasting and radio for me and webcomics was that time frame back then, in like 99, 2000, then you want to go check out this podcast he's doing with Martin, another guy from that time. The podcast is called Tango Down, the Tactical Gaming Podcast, which you can get at tacticalgaming.wordpress.com. I guest hosted on the last episode they did, and we talked a lot about those old days, but also about mods for existing games and how that plays into the whole tactical gaming genre, and it was a really good time. So if you're interested at all in tactical gaming, especially shooters, that's a really good show, and you should be listening to it. For real, yo. All right, Brian, we're to the point I wanted to get to, bad. This is for you, buddy. You ready for this?
Okay, I'm ready. Let's do it.
Maybe I'll do a break. No, I won't do a break.
I'm on. No, don't do a break.
All right, I'll bring this up first. I know, you just got excited. All right, so it was announced today that Will Wheaton, Wesley Crusher.
Yeah.
You remember him?
I'm with you.
You remember him, right?
Yeah, he's going to be in some kind of new movie. What's going to happen? Is something good?
Well,
the crap is that?
Will Wheaton was Wesley Crusher on Star Trek The Next Generation. More importantly,
is he going to be in the new movie?
No, that isn't it. It's nothing cool like that. He is the guy. He's the kid that he threw up with all his buddies in Stand By Me. That was good times. He is not going to do a sequel to the famous episode where he and that Judd chick, Ashley Judd, I guess it was, tried to stop the ship from playing that video game with the headset on their head. You remember that
one? That was my favorite.
With the cones and the freaking ball or the frisbees. Stupid.
That was cool.
Anyway, it's nothing cool like that. He today announced that he is endorsing Barack Obama for president. Now, let me say this, okay?
What?
I have issues with this. I don't care if it's Will Wheaton, and he's a nice guy. I like him. I read his blog. He seems cool.
Yeah.
I don't care who you are.
Yeah.
If you're a celebrity,
what exactly qualifies that you endorse somebody?
I was just about to ask that. I mean, what does it imply?
Well, okay.
Does it mean he's giving them money?
Well, I don't know. I'm some of his Star Trek stash that he has still from when he was a kid, maybe. I don't know. Yeah. I think they paid him in like fake phasers and transporter stuff and uniforms and stuff, but that give you camel toe. But I'll stop there. Here's what I want to say about this. I don't understand why I should take that any more seriously than if my neighbor up the road that nobody knows says I endorse Barack Obama. And I don't have anything against Barack Obama. I actually kind of like the guy.
Yeah.
In fact,
I feel the same way even when Schwarzenegger came out and said, I support McCain. I'm like, whatever.
Yeah, I don't even care then. And in that case, at least there's some political governorship thing going on. But when anybody else does it, like if I have to listen to freaking Susan Sarandon or her deadbeat boyfriend, who was great in Shawshank Redemption, don't forget. But other than that, he's a wiener. And I the reason I think he's a wiener is I don't care about his political slant. I don't care which direction he goes. I don't care how far left or far right somebody is.
Yeah.
I don't care what you think just because you're Spicoli.
Yeah. Somebody. Yeah. Just because people know your name.
Yeah.
Well, that matters. Isn't that like that time, wasn't it like Sean Penn and a bunch of other actors?
That's why I said Spicoli. Remember he was Spicoli in Fast Times on Ridgemont High.
Personally, this reminds me with the same amount of anger. Like the time Shakira started talking about, you know, the situation of violence in Colombia and stuff like that. I'm like, you don't even live here.
Exactly, dude. That's a perfect example. And the point is that, look, if George Clooney gets up and says, I support so-and-so for president, or I think we should do this, or any of the Baldwin brothers, I don't care who it is talking.
No, you know who I would care about, though?
Who?
Dean Cain.
Dean Cain. That's a good point.
If he says you got to vote for somebody, you got to vote for somebody.
Yeah, good point. But because whoever he picks will surely usher in the sport of the future.
Yeah,
comes right.
Yes, and that is very important. We can't be playing soccer our whole lives. Soccer sucks.
Soccer does suck. Oh boy, we're gonna get emails on that. Okay. Anyway, the point is this: I keep saying the point is this, I got to quit saying that. I don't care what these people think. And what is it about their job that makes me do that? Okay, George Clooney gets up and says something about something. I like him as an actor. I enjoy his movies.
Yeah, yeah.
He gets paid a lot of money. Some would say too much money. Depends on what you value, I guess. But a lot of money to get up and fake it.
Yeah.
To get up and pretend to be somebody
else.
Like
an orgasm?
No, sort of. He gets up and completely fakes it in front of everybody. Hello, I'm this guy that isn't really real.
But we're men. We can't fake it.
Yeah, dude, you and you're fixated. But see what I mean? Who cares? He's an actor. I don't care. Why is that more important than what my mechanic thinks? Truth is, my mechanic his opinion probably matters more because what happens with government and stuff probably affects him more than it ever would George Clooney.
Yeah.
So what is it about this celebrity endorsement thing why should I be compelled to take it seriously?
Yeah.
Well, you see, the thing is, Scott, I mean, you are moderately, maybe not too much, but, you know, sort of pseudo smart person. And you know better than to just listen to some actor that, I mean, for all we could know, could just be stupid. I mean, how do we know?
But really.
I mean, you got, okay, let's use the same example of George Clooney. I mean, I don't know the guy. I've never spoken to him. I don't expect to ever speak to him. But for all we know, the guy can be a moron. And I'm not even talking about him being nice or mean or anything. I'm talking he can be genuinely stupid. Or he can be a genius. You never really know because you don't know these people. And of course, you, Scott Johnson, know better than to just listen to somebody that, I mean, you don't know about any of that. But the regular person, the regular Joe, he sees his favorite actor endorsing a candidate, and that really matters to him.
Ugh. I hate it, dude.
Who do you endorse?
You know what? I'll take Jim Varney. He's dead, I know. But if Jim Varney would have endorsed somebody, I'd take his endorsement. All right? That's how seriously I'd take it. So, Brian?
Yeah.
Tell us about your love of Ron Paul before we take a break.
Vote for Ron
RuPaul?
Paul. RuPaul? Not RuPaul, dude. RuPaul is a freaking transvestite and is not running for president. Right.
But Brian
from Extra Life Radio endorses Ron Paul, and you can put that in the news.
Yeah, Ron, with Brian's limited celebrity status, he endorses Ron Paul. Now, Ron Paul's an interesting dude. I kind of have to say I like listening to him.
Yeah, he's got some great ideas.
Yeah, he's a little bit of a, not a socialist, what's the word I'm looking for?
I don't know.
There's a word where... He's a
constitutionalist. He believes in everything should be followed by the Constitution.
To the letter?
To the letter.
Yeah. I don't know. Sometimes these people make me nervous because it's the kind of... Not that he would, but sometimes people like that are the guys that go up in the hills, get their weapons stashed, and fight the FBI.
He'll never be elected, but he's got some great ideas, and I think they should at least listen.
He's got some crazy... I know he's libertarian. I'm not talking about his party affiliation.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is he's got a lot of web following, like huge internet love.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's enough. It's probably not enough.
Yeah, it's not enough.
It's a loud minority.
Not especially considering that most people who use the internet are younger, 30 and younger, and considering that during these primaries, only 10% of the vote is represented from the 18 to 30-year-old. So
most
of the votes come from 60-plus. So
yeah,
that just goes to show you these kids are talking a big talk, but they're not going out and
putting their
votes out.
This is the most political the show's ever gotten right now, this very second.
Yeah,
I'm getting very bored. You know what? Let's make it easy for people. Vote for Ralph Wiggum.
Yeah.
That's
Ralph
Wiggum.
Vote for Ralph. I think I like boys now. All right. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we have a special movie review from our resident movie freak, Randy Jordan, a.k.a. Randy Deluxe. We're going to talk about Rambo and ask the question, is this indeed the most violent film in the history of the world? When our program continues.
I'm having a credit card reader installed in my butt crack.
And we're back. Welcome back to the show. Hey, everybody. We have joining us our resident movie nerd, big giant movie nerd, who looks like Jonathan Frakes on a bad weekend binge. I'm just kidding. joining us, as he has for the last few weeks, is Randy Jordan, a.k.a. Randy Deluxe from theinstance.net and that fine podcast over there. Randy, hello.
Good evening.
Good evening. So you saw the Rambo, yes? Oh, wait, before we do this, O seems to think there's some kind of connection between Randy and Rambo because that's how simple minds in Colombia think. And so what he would like to know
if you had a fight with Rambo, do you think you would win? You think you could take on Rambo?
Well, see.
Okay. What about if you and Rambo have a poetry contest?
Oh.
Who do you think would win a poetry contest?
You clean
up. I would destroy Rambo.
Yeah.
Poetry.
Yeah. No way. Absolutely. No way. You might even be able to beat him in an arm wrestle because I saw Over the Top and he wasn't that good.
I would be all two roads diverged. And he'd be all quiet, trying to think of just a little haiku.
Yeah,
but
he couldn't.
He doesn't have a chance.
No, he couldn't do it. He just want to go punch meat in Philadelphia. Okay, listen. So you saw the Rambo. This is the new movie. Technically, Rambo 5, or would it be 4? Was there a 4?
I think it's 4, isn't it?
This would technically be 4.
Yeah, this would be 4. Okay, so here we have Rambo 4, not called Rambo 4. It's just called Rambo. It's kind of like Rocky Balboa. He's trying to sort of reset the system.
Isn't it called John Rambo?
No.
It was
just
going
just
to
Rambo.
Be.
It was going to be.
Oh, okay.
But then people said, that's dumb. You just did that with Rocky. Okay. All right, so.
I'm pretty sure he can't tell the difference. You just did that with Rocky. Ain't it the same movie?
So he's a pocked steroid husk of a man in his 60s doing this movie. Now, some have stated, and this is really what I want to start this off with. Some have said, this is the most violent film in the history of movies.
Yay.
Can you please tell us if this is correct or not?
No, the most violent film in the history of movies. Definitely has the most violence of a Rambo movie.
Okay.
But that's like saying, like today I'm the nakedest I have ever been today.
That's exactly right. Great analogy.
Yeah, nice job.
I mean, for example, there's that absolute moron Eli Roth out there trying to make hostile films that are really violent, and they are, and they're more violent than this.
Yeah.
And it really gets to the heart of my only real complaint about Rambo, which was the real animation, not computer generated imagery, but real actual drawn animation that they used. I don't know if it saved them money or something.
For what did they do it for? For blood and guts and stuff, or what?
Well, besides blood and guts, let's just say we have a scene where you come across a cesspool of bodies.
Yeah.
Where, you know, where the bad guys have just slaughtered villagers.
Yeah.
They'll have flies on them, and they're animated flies.
That's awesome.
And
wait, but you know, this kind of sounds like Roger Rabbit.
Yeah, a little bit.
It's so distracting. I mean, it's so stinking distracting.
Oh my gosh.
And there were a lot of things like that. They would do a guy running past the camera, and they needed to get they needed to have him bleeding.
Yeah.
So they would have animated blood pouring out of something, and it looked out of place. That was my big complaint.
So they didn't even.
You said they had animation, I thought you were talking about, you know, like the animations they have in Kill Bill, which are awesome. I mean, I don't really see them in the whole like context of Rambo, but the animations in Kill Bill were great.
Or Sin City, completely different. Completely different. This was an attempt at realism.
This sounds like Roger Rabbit.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was non-computer generated, used for realism. And it just stuck out. Now, there were times when they did a good job of blending, but a lot of times I was disappointed by that. You say, how are the graphics? And I say, really bad.
Really? Yeah. Really? So it's like they dug up the corpse of Harryhausen and said, here, make this blood look good.
Well, and that's correct. And they were challenged by just how much of it they had to do. This film has a ton of dismemberments, of people getting shot. You know, and then of these strange uses of animation, like I say, like flies. The flies are really on my mind because they use good sound effects, so you feel like, oh, there's flies buzzing around and crawling on that body. But then you look close and you're like, oh man, those are black dots, and they're moving funny.
I love this. This is great. Now, I'm not that this would make.
Wait
a
minute.
Movie,
wait a minute. Maybe. I mean, you know, like at a 3D movie that you're supposed to, you know, they give you glasses when you go into the movie, so you wear the glasses and you get the full effect. Maybe they're supposed to give you some crack when you go into the movie.
Maybe. I don't know. That's just crazy.
I'm sure that on crack it would look awesome.
Yeah.
I thought it was a pretty good film.
Yeah.
I really did. I thought that he still kind of has that understanding of his character. And I see this as a second sort of love letter to characters that he likes the most.
It's like fan service. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And I get it. He has this idea of who Rocky was, and he got that on film, and he has this idea of who Rambo was, and he wrote it. It's not like watching Rocky in the jungle. It's Rambo. He's a completely different character.
Yeah.
And I think Stallone does a good job with that. And this movie has an actual ending, which blew my mind. It wasn't just a, you know, sort of last helicopter out of Saigon ending. It has that, but then it has an epilogue ending, which I liked.
Yeah. We mean like one of those things where it's like John Rambo later married and found out that he had AIDS on his bum or something.
Yeah. John Rambo graduated, and they show him, you know, throwing his hat into the air and freeze the frame.
Was it like that, like a true story type epilogue, or what?
It was not dumb like that.
Oh,
but
okay.
It was not.
Thank you, Randy. It was great having you.
It was not terribly dissimilar than that.
Well, it reminds me. It's how, let's say, like, what's that movie? I just I just lost track of it. The John Belushi movie. Mashed Potato Zip movie. What's it called? What's wrong with me?
What the heck are you talking about?
Animal House.
Animal House.
Oh,
God.
Animal House. Right.
Jeez,
yeah.
Louise.
Oh, you cracked me up.
I couldn't think of it, dude. I can just think of things associated with it. Yeah. I
thought Rocky Balboa was a great movie. I mean, I really liked it, and I thought
so did I.
That the way he dealt with the whole story and the whole aging was awesome. And when I see Rambo, I do expect it to somehow deal with the fact that Rambo is old. Am I going to get any of that?
Yes, he is.
I love the way they deal with the whole age issue in Rocky Balboa. I mean, they don't hide it. They're not like, this guy's trying to look younger. The movie is actually about Rocky Balboa dealing with him, you know, with his whole thing of himself getting older.
Yeah, it's kind of central to the story even.
That's the whole arc of this film. The whole arc of the film is that you start out with you sit down and you question, what has this guy been doing for 20 years? And they show you. This is
lifting
exactly
weights, apparently.
Taking steroids. Yeah. Wait, is it okay? Let me ask you this though. Some of the talk I've been hearing, some of the chatter, is that the movie is really true to the whole '80s action movie mentality.
Rambo dances. No. He dances and sings.
No, it's like a bygone method.
Leg warmers.
It's like Commando. It's like, you know, it's like those kinds. Well, it's like Rambo for that matter, but it's like those kinds of 80s over the top, or, you know, insane, go USA, you know, fight back the Red Menace kind of sensibility to it. Is that true?
Well, I don't know. I mean, maybe Randy, can answer us. I mean,
that's why I asked him.
Scott is, no, but no, what I'm saying is Scott says that, you know, like Commando, like this. Isn't Rambo like the movie that, you know, started it all, or where would we go to for those roots?
No, First Blood did not start that trend. First Blood, there's only one person that dies in that film, and it's practically an accident. that trend was really, I don't really know what it was started by, but that trend was really made by Schwarzenegger in all of those films.
Yeah,
and
the Governator.
Yeah, the Governator.
Right, and Rambo 3 got back on that bandwagon. And it was as far as I'm concerned, Rambo 3 wasn't that good as a result.
Yeah.
I would say this movie is more like a crazy off the rails episode of China Beach than it is like the last two Rambo films.
The comparison.
Yeah. Interesting comparison, actually.
Yeah.
Well, and the point is that there's a huge conflict in Burma. He's living in Thailand, south of Burma. He's the only guy who can get up the river because he's got a boat that he uses to catch snakes and sell to a snake show. I mean,
Thai massage first.
I thought that place was called Myanmar. Is this Burma still? I don't know. My geography's off, obviously. Isn't it the same place?
The film actually opens with a map. And it shows you, here's Burma. And then as they go into it, they say, now here's what's going on here. And they show you real news clips. This is the opening of the film. Real news clips of monks being slaughtered in Myanmar and so forth. I guess that's one and the same. Is that right?
Yeah. They're the same place, I think. But isn't it – it's called Myanmar now because of who controls it. Didn't that change because somebody lost power and they didn't call it Burma anymore?
I thought we were calling it Burma now because it changed.
Oh, maybe it changed back. I don't know, dude. Freaking
okay. Irrelevant.
Totally irrelevant. Bad place to live.
It is. It's a horrible, horrible place, and they make that point to start the film. This film has a solid political message. The message is twofold, and it's really, really about survival of the fittest and violence. Is things are really bad in Burma, and they're really bad if you're not the guy behind the gun.
Yeah.
And B, pacifism only gets you lined up with the bad guys. And Stallone's pounding that into you all through the film. If you're a pacifist, you are as wrong as the bad guys are wrong. And I mean, he makes that point so strongly that I feel like there's some people who were turned off, not by the violence, but by the pacifists who get done in by the violence.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure people have issues with that. Okay, here's the quiz for the day, all right? This is it's connected. I want to go around the table, start with Brian. Best, best Sylvester Stallone movie ever, and I'm not talking about his porn one he made. Anything but that one.
Oh, you kind of cut me off of the legs here.
Not giving me much to work with.
That's the one I was going to say.
So what would you pick, Brian? What's your favorite? Do you have a favorite?
Well, really, the first Rambo movie is a great, solid movie, but it is kind of slow. So I can't really go with it. The first Rocky movie, the same situation. It's a great movie, so well scripted, but it's kind of slow. For some reason, I just keep gravitating back to, like, what is it, Rocky IV, the one where he fights the Russian?
You like that one, IV, with the Dolph Lundgren?
I don't know why I like that one.
That's okay. No, there's no rules here.
Yeah, I don't know if it's the training in the snow.
Yeah.
You know, or what. This is,
maybe the greatest thing I've ever heard you say. I don't know if it's the training in the snow, but I really like the one where he fought the Russian.
That's the one I like.
All right. Oh, yeah. do you have a pick? Do you like one better than the other?
I have three different picks, and for three different reasons.
Please tell me one of them is not Tango and Cash. Go ahead.
No.
Okay, good.
I've always sort of liked, but it's more from the designer point of view and from just how different and weird that movie is. I've always had a soft spot for Judge Dredd.
Okay.
I think that the most fun I've ever had watching a Stallone movie was Demolition Man.
Demolition Man was great fun. Yeah, it was a fun movie.
Yeah. I mean, I love Demolition Man, but I honestly think that the best movie in general, as in it was a good, fun movie, and in terms of being a movie, it was a good movie, was Assassins.
Oh,
I forgot about Assassins.
I thought she was going to say, "Stop her, Mama, my mama shoots."
Yes. Getty Lee. What was her name? The golden girl, the olden girl.
Estelle Getty.
Yeah. Estelle Getty. Getty Lee. Today's Tom Sawyer. Anyway. Okay, Randy, I'm going to do mine last.
I'll just hedge my bets here. I have to say his best film is Rocky I, nominated for 10 Academy Awards, one for Best Picture, and he wrote it and starred in it. That's got to be his best film.
Yeah.
My favorite, and I think I will always say this now, I'm going to have a soft spot for Rocky VI, for Rocky Balboa. That film just it caught me at the right time. I felt like after years and years of crap and nothing, that suddenly out of nowhere, Sylvester Stallone just found something in himself as a writer that blew me away. So
yeah, that's a good pick.
The first and the last are for me.
Yeah, and I'm actually I'm going to pick the one of the stupidest ones that I kind of had a lot of fun with is one I was mashing on earlier, which is actually Tango and Cash. Stupid, dumb, but kind of fun. I'm going to say also on top of this, my most disappointing one was Get Carter. I had a lot of like hopes for that, and I thought it sucked. And so the last
that one he does with Sharon Stone, that movie is so bad it's good.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know if it's even that bad. anyway, and you're right. Someone in the chat room, Rob2187, says Tango and Cash was a Lethal Weapon ripoff. Totally, completely. But it was still fun. And I'm going to say though, my favorite is also Rocky Balboa. That was just a gem. I thought it was amazing, and I thought it was extremely well acted, and it had kind of a quiet sort of sweetness about it, and it just surprised me. I expected poop, and I got something really fun and good, and I thought it was great. And I couldn't believe...
I really loved of that movie that he doesn't win.
Yeah, he
I
doesn't
love that.
Win. He doesn't need to win. He doesn't win. The whole thing with his son...
That was a spoiler, wasn't it?
Yeah, kind of. You know what the worst thing is in that movie is freaking Peter Petrelli. That's the worst thing in that movie. Because that guy talks with a funny mouth. His mouth's all crooked. But besides, well, so does Stallone, I guess. Maybe that's the point.
it is sort of hereditary, but yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Perfect casting.
Yeah, I guess so. I didn't think about it that way. So
what are you talking about? I can't stand you. What the hell are you saying?
Where did I get these powers 2 years in a row? Stupid. Anyway, so yeah, that movie was awesome, and I can't believe. What also is interesting to me is that Stallone went from a quiet, nice PG-rated movie, Rocky Balboa, which was surprising in its own right to me, to a hardcore, easily the most violent movie this year. so far, and maybe of last year too.
It's January.
Yeah.
Well, again though, last year had a Saw movie.
Yeah, but those, I don't know. Can we count those? Maybe you can.
What? Saw 4? I thought Saw 3 and 4 were great.
Dude, how
Saw
are you...
2 was Saw 2 was horrible.
How are you seeing Saw 3 and 4? Where are you getting the access to these? Is it all internet? Are you torrenting those?
I used to go to a place called the movie theater, and it's really awesome there. You get to see movies.
Oh, all right. Good times.
I'll tell you, I really liked Copland.
Yeah.
So I'll throw that in there too.
Okay. A lot of people are mentioning Copland as well. Never saw it.
I think he does really well in voice acting. I remember his character in Ants, and it was just so much fun.
Oh yeah, he was fun in Ants. I forgot about that. Yeah, he was good in Ants. Animation sucked. Oh, and speaking of animation, easily you got to give him the animation award of the year for his work with Flies and Rambo. I understand.
Yeah.
and I just want to be clear. People are calling it snuff porn. You know, the you start killing enough people and ripping off enough limbs and whatever. This is not like a horror film. You know, it's really not this sort of, this sort of gratuitous. And I mean that in the true sense of the term. There's not this gratuitous death and destruction. It comes across as gratuitous, but what they're setting up here, like with this whole 6 versus 100 battle, you kind of have to either kill off those 6 guys and whoever they kill, or one of them has to live and 105 people have to die. You know what I mean? It kind of required the violence that you end up seeing, and I think he does a pretty good job of not showing as much violence as there could have been in the film.
Yeah.
For example, by far the most thrilling scene in the film is the scene where Rambo sets up a very, very large explosion. And you don't get a sense for how large it's going to be until you realize that he's sprinting through the jungle to get away from it. and it goes on for a minute. You're just like, oh, yep, there he goes. He's still running. Wow. And look, all of his enemies are crowding around the spot he left, trying to figure out what's going to happen. And he's, whoa. I mean, he's... It could have been an even better scene if they would have used a better camera, but I guess they actually filmed they filmed way out in Thailand or something.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, I heard Thailand is what I heard. Yeah,
it looked like Thailand. The first thing I said when we saw a shot of the film was, "Wow, that's not Kauai. That's actually, you know, somewhere Southeast Asia."
Yeah, watching.
Well, I really enjoyed the fact that he would run so, you know, like he really meant it. Run away from a bomb. I can't stand when these people are walking away from explosions and just bloom, and they're just walking away like, yeah, man, I'm cool.
Okay. How about this? Favorite old school, not new movie doesn't count. Favorite old school Rambo moment.
Oh, brother. Well, anything with the crossbow is good. Didn't he shoot an explosive crossbow into like the camp leader's head in 2?
I don't think it's a crossbow. I think it's a straight bow.
Was it? Oh no, you're right. You're right. It was a compound bow.
Yeah.
That's my favorite moment.
The straight bow.
That was my favorite moment because he had some one-liner thing. I think my favorite part was when Apollo Creed had his arm blown off by the alien. Oh, sorry, wrong movie. I got it all mixed up.
Ryan Gaxter.
No, same dude, isn't it? Apollo Creed. Wasn't he? Yeah, he was. Dude.
Predator?
The Apollo Creed was in Predator.
The first one. Oh, yeah, Predator. I was like, I thought it was about Predator 2.
No, that was what's his name? That was Lethal Weapon Glover. Guy. Danny Glover, yeah. Who, by the way, looks terrible now. Anyway, that's not the important part. The important part is that I would say that guy with the explosive arrow thing. But it's almost all I can remember. I haven't seen those movies in 20 years or something, 15 years. Anyone else, Brian?
What about you, B-Man?
Favorite Rambo moment? It's when he shows up at that first guy's house and realizes all of his buddies are dead from his group. And then he flips out on that sheriff guy.
Oh my gosh, dude. The way you're talking is the best. That is awesome. All right, Randy, you have a moment?
Rambo 3, deep in Afghanistan, trapped in a cave with Richard Crenna, and just destroying everybody that comes into sight to get out.
Didn't he die, Richard Crenna? Now he's dead, right?
Rambo killed him. You didn't hear him?
He died about five years ago.
He died, you know, of exposure to Rambo.
But were there any references to him in this new movie or none at all?
No, none at all. None at all.
Just wondering if they brought that
no
up.
No reference to any of the previous movies.
Yeah. All right. You didn't tell us yours.
I don't remember which Rambo it is, but he's got like, I don't even remember if it was a bullet wound, but he has a wound and he sits down alone in the jungle, opens up a bullet, takes out, you know, the gunpowder and he puts it on his wound and then he ignites it to sort of close the wound. I mean, that was just awesome.
I think that was the first one, wasn't it?
To me, that is the essence of Rambo. It's survival.
Yeah.
Put gunpowder on a wound and ignite it. That works. I mean, makes sense.
Yeah. We keep forgetting that he was in Rhinestone. That was a hell of a movie. Anyway.
Yeah.
Did you ever see that with Dolly Parton? It was terrible.
No.
Terrible. No.
Scott, why would you have seen that?
I don't know, dude. Someone like borrowed it or rented it and it was on VHS. This is years ago. And I remember thinking, why am I watching this? What did they do to Rocky, man? Stop. Make it stop. And I want to give a shout out for Rocky 3. It doesn't get near enough credit. And the Mr. T Rocky is a great one. I love that one. It's good stuff.
Yeah.
And I think.
I pity the fool.
Yeah, I pity the fool. We always pity the fool. Oh my gosh, look at the time, guys. We are out of time. That's going to do it for this episode of Extra Life Radio. Big special thanks to Randy for popping in with our movie review of the week. We like these. We're going to keep doing them. They're fun. And he's such a movie freak, dude. I guarantee he'll see whatever it is we're missing. So that'll be great. Look forward to more of those. Also want to thank Owen Bryan, of course. Big thanks to Sebastian for our mashups, of which we have none this week. His computer died, but he promises he'll be back in the saddle next week. Thanks to Rob Gahobers for our theme music. Thanks to Scott Fletcher for all his voice work. And thanks to you guys for being there as well. For without you, we are poo. Thanks to our sponsors again as well, youbynow.com and godaddy.com. If you want to learn more about them and more stuff that's going on, go to myextralife.com and join up, hang out, and have some fun. And until next week, which will be show 170, we'll see you then.
Trying to breathe.
The following is a test of the emergency broadcast system. Thank you for using the emergency broadcast system.
Jill!
What is in the box, Gebular? It is something called a TiVo. It is very nice. Yes, very nice. It records your TV shows while you are out on errands. How convenient. I have it hooked up now. Turn it on, Gebular. Okay, Bob. Hey, nice looking box. Would you like a drink? No, Gebular. I mean, turn on the power. Oh, sorry. Here we go. Ooh, pretty. Nice. How come it all says repeat? It is because of the writer's strike. I heard about it on the radio FM modulator. So there are no new shows? Nothing except reality drivel. Yuck, I hate reality drivel. Yes, I hate reality drivel. Forget the TiVo. Let's listen to more podcasts. Yes, like the Treks and Sci-Fi Forum podcast with Rico. For all our favorite geeky goodness and sci-fi information. Yes, let's listen. Now, how do you install iTunes? Beats me. I downloaded directly from treksandscifi.com. What is the big apple on the screen? What is a apple? It is a fruit created by Steve Jobs. Oh, what does it mean, register? Take us to your Rico, Steve. Yes, take us to your Rico.
www.treksandscifi.com.
Dill Extra Life. Take...
737.
Yep. In 5, 4, 3.
This was a triumph. Making a note here, huge success. It's hard to overstate my flatulation. Extra Life Radio. We must geek out because we can. For the good of all of us in the search of geek cred. But there's no sense crying over every poop joke. You just keep on trying and going for broke. And the podcast gets done and Scott offends someone for the fans who listen to Extra Life. Not even angry. I'm being so sincere right now. Even though you called me out and offended me and laughed at my email, and then you went on to Brian's file. As you got on topic, I was so happy for you that we did the halfway point of the show. Bro rambled on and now we're running out of time, so move on with the show. You have more geek to go for the people who listen to Extra Life. Go ahead and affect me. I think I prefer to be brushed aside. Maybe I'll find someone else to offend me. Maybe Dean Kane. That was a joke. Haha, bad chance. Anyway, this show is great. It's so geeky and strange. Look at me still talking when there's listening to do. I just hope Obsidian's cast decide that I'm the boom. I can't have a run. I thought it would be fun to be outside listening to Extra Life. And believe me, there is Extra Life. While there is God, there is Extra Life. And without Brian, it's not Extra Life. Then with Obsidian, it's still Extra Life. Be sure you read the comic, Extra Life. Extra Life. Extra Life.
Hey, ELR guys. I have a question for your new semi-fourth chair host, Randy. Has anybody ever told you that your voice sounds strikingly similar to Leo Laporte's? I'm not kidding. I just listened to an episode of Buzz Out Loud where he was a guest host on, and I was just amazed by the similarities between, I don't even really know how to describe it. There's just things about your voices that are very, very similar, and I was just wondering if anybody had ever told you that. And if so, what do you think about that? Do you agree, disagree? Am I full of crap? This is Brandon from Texas, ending this rant. Bye.
Hey, this is Seamus, and the only reason I'm going to do this is because I got positive feedback from sick enjoyment that some people were getting about these. So, okay. So my parents said that I could get a crappy old computer instead of the one that I had before back when they got my final grades, as long as they were good. And they were good, so I got them all back, but they wanted to wait for the report card, but the report card takes 2 weeks to mail out, so I went around with my teachers and had them sign all a piece of paper with the grades, and I brought it home today, and they're not home yet, but I took the computer out of the other room and put it in my room, and my mom calls me, I'm like, oh man, it's good to have a computer, and she's like, what? What are you doing? And I'm like, what? I don't understand. Mamma mia, even though I'm not Italian. And so she said that it's a bad idea, and my dad's probably going to take it away. So, and the point is, I really love the scream. I really don't know why.
Hello, Extra Life. This is Minsk. I was listening to an old show. A month or so ago, Scott told an amusing story where his cat stole his lunch and gorged himself on it. Now, the picture I got from the story was that the cat ended up so bloated that he could have burst any second like a Tom Savini special effects prop. This naturally made me concerned for the cat, and since Scott hasn't told any stories about his cat ever since that, I'm concerned. Did your cat survive eating all your food? I'd love to hear your answer to this on next week's show. Well, that's all from me. Bye.
But there's no sense crying over every poop joke.
Jill!
Barry!
Jill.
Barry.
Jill!
Let's get going!